Blog Talk Radio.
Connect via the link attention, not direct co-host. The direct is me. And what I sent you an email is what you're supposed to use. Another number. What happened to the other number?
Warning. The following program may contain crude or offensive material. If you are easily offended, please change the station now. This program's views and opinions may not be the views and opinions of this station.
About fucking time, Jesus damn Christ, I'll tell you, I never had so much of a fucking hard time trying to do anything ever in my life. What a pain in the ass that was. Well, it's Richard Tingle coming to you live, usually from South Florida, from the beautiful corner penthouse suite atop some beautiful skyscraper, but that is not the situation this time. No. For the last 18 months or so, I have been in South Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina, to be specific, that beautiful upstate region. And you know what? I love it. It's beautiful. It's an amazing place to be. And I hate to say it, but I've never been happier since I left South Florida. So maybe to all my friends back home in South Florida, it may be a damn good idea for you to go ahead and do so, to get the hell out of town, so to speak. But we do have a show lined up, whatever's left of it. We got about 40 minutes left still. Unfortunately, spent 20 minutes dicking around with this whole system trying to get it to work. And hopefully we can get it to work next time. I'm not sure what the hell's going on with it, but it's being a huge pain in the ass is what it's being. But let's go ahead and get to the talk for wrestling. There's a couple things we want to hit on before we actually get Vinny on the line. And one of those things is, unfortunately, the passing away of one of WWE's superstars from the 90s and so on. One half of Crime Time, Shad Gaspard, passed away. It was officially announced today when his body was found at approximately 1 a.m. But for the last day or two, since he went on vacation with his family to the beach, and he disappeared in the waves, sadly. And tragically, he did the one thing that a father and a parent would do. And when the lifeguards went out to rescue him, he said, "Take care of my son first. You get my son first. Rescue him first." And that's what they did. And it cost him his life. And I'm sure any father would do that. Say what you will about him as a wrestler, as a hero, and everything else. Utmost will always be remembered as a heroic father who gave his life or his child's life. And not much you can say when something like that happens. It's tragic, it's horrible, it's horrific. And you can only try to do the best you can in regards to the man's memories and treat him with nothing but the utmost respect in regards to his memory from that point on, especially considering how he died. He gave his life for his son, and there's no higher calling than that, so to speak. And I'm sure if given that option, he would do it over and over and over again without doubt. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and give off a 21-bell salute for him. I'm going to ring off the three-bell sound 7 times, and we'll have a moment of silence for him afterwards. And in respect to Shad Gaspard, who was officially announced as passed away today. So we'll go ahead and get started with that right now. All right, so there we go, a 21-bell salute for Shad Gaspard and a moment of silence for him. And tragically, one of the things we have to talk about today is his passing. Unfortunately, there's another passing, not recent. This is a day in history, but Randy Macho Man Savage passed away in 520 a couple years back also. Randy Macho Man Savage, I mean, what can you not say about this guy? He's a huge part of wrestling. He's one of the things that got me to love the bad guys. There was a lot of NWA wrestlers at that time that were catching my eye, but I was a big Hogan freak and for all the good guys in WWE, and my eyes were opened about how cool being a bad guy could be by Randy Macho Man Savage. I mean, the guy is epic when it comes to wrestling and so on. Let me go ahead and put a message out here. Apologies there. But Randy Macho Man Savage, I mean, it's kind of funny. I saw just the other day a Slim Jim display with him. Those things, I imagine, fetch a pretty good buck because they're not around much anymore, and he's not around much. He's not around at all. So, of course, the value of those things have jumped up quite a bit, and they put a little mask on it, which is why I took a picture of it because of the mask. I thought it was ironic. So, It's kind of sad to be think about those things where we had not one death, but now we've got another death to think about, one in memory, and another one is more recent and fairly tragic and a very sad thing. And the last thing you want to think about is these deaths, especially when you're sitting at home all the time. A lot of people in quarantine, and this is not the kind of thing that you need to be battered upon with day after day. There was a couple other things going on in this day in history. You know, on 5/19, and this week in history, actually, 5/19, you had RoboCop in NWA. That's right, RoboCop, for some strange goddamn reason. Somebody thought that pulling a movie character into wrestling would have been a great idea. Why they thought this, I don't know. NWA or WCW, as it slowly became to be known as, started doing a whole bunch of crazy shit, and this was part of it, pulling RoboCop into the NWA. Of course, you know, Sting got thrown into the cage, RoboCop pulled it off, and the match went on, and it was a whole lot of stupidity. But you see a lot of these things nowadays. I guess you could say either WCW was either way ahead of their time in regards to silly, stupid shit, or it was just a bad idea all the time, because now you have things like WWE with WrestleMania and what happened with The Undertaker and AJ, and you had the John Cena match along with Bray Wyatt. I'm not sure you can even call it a match. It is what it is. And now you have independent federations in the area starting to do the same thing. You had AWE, I believe, Atomic Wrestling Entertainment, doing their own thing. I'm not sure you could call it a match. It was entertaining, I will say that. But they had Zach Monster, who I've seen many a times, and I've had the pleasure of calling several of his hardcore matches. I was able to call a few of his hardcore matches, and the guy's entertaining. There's no doubt about it. And one of the most interesting matches I've ever seen, it was a Purge match. You know, the sounds of the Purge went off, and him and his opponent went at it. And I did put a link up on Slam Radio. You can go to Slam Radio, watch the match for yourself. Come to your opinion. Like I said, you know, I'm not sure how to go about it, because wrestling just isn't wrestling anymore, as it was once said. Wrestling is everything but wrestling now. So I put the word disgust there. And I want to see what people truly have to say about stuff like this. You know, I do want to see both sides of the conversation. I want to hear disgust. I want to see what's going on. And I want to see what the people out there think. Is this something you want to see more of in wrestling? Do you want to see more entertainment? Do you want to see things get a little bit further away from a ring and into more interesting things while there's no arena, so to speak? Do you want them to go this far? Do you want them to go back is the question, really. Is now that this threshold's been crossed by the biggest company there is, do you think this is something they should do more of? We know WWE's been interested in doing movies for a long time. So, you know, it's something we've been trying to get into, but we'll see what happens with that. So, like I said, I put the link out there. Discuss. Put it out there. Let's see what's going on, and let's hear everybody's else opinion out there. So there's a lot more things going on in there, but what I want to do is I want to try to clear the way so we can get our guest, Vinny Ramaguchi, on the line. I've got poor old Kim on the other computer trying as hard as possible to get her things working, but she's banging her head, and she said she just can't get in, so who knows what's going on with that. Let's see what we got here. Bear with me a second. Who's on that 757 line? Is that you or is that Vinny? That's Vinny? Oh, so let's go ahead and bring the gentleman on here. Let me just verify real quick here. Is this Vinny?
What's happening, thing?
Hey, Vinny Ramaguchi, it's the Grand Guido himself. How are you doing today, sir?
It is I, sir. I'm fantastic. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Excellent. Glad to hear you. My apologies for the shit festival this has turned into. Not exactly a grand start.
I mean, it's,
but,
it's 2020.
It is what it is.
Expect, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was no way to do this all ahead of time to try to make everything was work. You had 15 minutes to figure everything out, and if that didn't work, you're pretty much left up shit's creek without a paddle. But let's get right to the good stuff then. Let's go ahead and get conversing with you. and finding out what's going on. You know, you've been in ICW, you've been in BMW, you've also done Uno Pro. Give the people a little bit of information about you, because I'm sure there's a couple of people. This hasn't been around for a while. You know, you know it's been a few years. ICW has been a few years. BMW was a boom, bam, flash in a pan. So tell the people who you are. Let them know a little bit about you and what you've done in South Florida wrestling. And we'll get to the good parts, the meat of it after that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, the Grand Guido Vinny Ramaguchi, I got my start back in 2009. I was trained by Rusty Brooks. You know, fantastic trainer, very knowledgeable. Just I learned so much from him. You know, alongside with Rusty is, you know, Flex Magnum, you know, J-Dog Brooks, Soul Man Alex G, Primetime Daryl D, Ram Man, you know, like God rest his soul. So, you know, I got my start back then, and I had so many, you know, great, you know, trainers, mentors, just people along the line, you know, along the road, just helping out and, you know, making me a good, you know,
Yeah, the most interesting part about that is you practically listed off almost a dozen guys there. It's not just one person you learn from. You learn from a good dozen guys there. You have a whole bunch of different styles, a whole bunch of different methods and techniques of wrestling that you learn from these guys. What did you learn from each person? What was the thing that really stuck with you from each person you learned from, you trained from, under?
God, there's just such a plethora of things that you can just take from you know all your you know all the people that you come across and whatnot. Goodness, that's such a difficult question. I mean, you know, I'd say for sure with Rusty, Strikes was probably the big the big talking point. Strikes and you know, working on your promo skills, you know, making sure you know what to say, when to say it, making it count.
Yeah, the amazing thing about Rusty, when I was hanging around him, I always enjoyed just listening to the stories, because every story he told, you would learn so much from him in regards to not just moves. I learned more from Rusty in regards to the psychology and everything behind the sport than actual moves and everything else, and I thought that was most interesting. Is you can learn the moves from everybody, you can do certain styles and techniques, but it was the things behind it that Rusty taught us that really stuck with me most. Is not why this works, or not this is how you do the move. You step over this way, you do this way. You know, anybody can show you those things. That takes a little bit of skill, picking it up and everything else. But the depth of knowledge behind it, he would say, okay, now you grab it and do it this way, and you do this a certain way because of, and he would go into a very good example of why doing those things mattered in a certain way, in a certain psychology and everything. Is he had good knowledge of how to control a crowd, and he was excellent doing it. He would just, if there was nothing going on, he would just look around and say, I'm not a coward, and all of a sudden the crowd would start chanting coward. He had a masterful way of controlling the crowd with just a few simple words. He knew exactly what to say, how to goad them into saying and getting things said about him. He was really good as both the babyface and the heel and manipulating the crowd and getting them into the match, so to speak.
I absolutely agree with that. He's very masterful in just having having that crowd in the palm of his hand, and just, you know, everything he did to me just like it just resonated, because it was just so masterfully just crafted in a sense.
He was something else, and you mentioned a few other guys. Ram Man, you know, I owe Ram Man a lot. He's the guy who got me in the business, along with the Nature Boy, Bobby Rogers. He really put a lot of faith in me, and over the years, he kept calling me back, saying, hey, brother, let's do this again, and I was always proud to do so with him. With Ram, you wrestled in NWC for a while. You also wrestled in IWA for Scorpio, George. And you did BMW and Uno Pro. Tell us a little bit about each one. Give us some memories you had about IWC. I mean, give us some memories about IWC and what you remember most from there. Any memories of K5 going from there on?
So with ICW, yeah, that was pretty much like my first start in wrestling. Like, that's where I started, you know, getting like official bookings and whatnot. So, you know, I'm always indebted to that. I've always, you know, I'm always grateful for the opportunity that ICW gave to me. So memories. Where do we start? You know, we did have that that K5 unit. That was pretty interesting little faction we had going on there. Who we have in there? Vega. I was like Eli Vega. Andrew Dawson.
Julian.
Daniel Modem at the time. What was that? Oh, and
yep. You mentioned him, Daniel Modem.
Yeah, Arson Blaze, and I think Cake Ling was in there.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think about round.
It was an interesting group of guys,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we were definitely, you know, I think the motive behind it was kind of akin to what, you know, Nexus was going for in the WWE, where it was, you know, five hungry guys just, you know, kind of just fed up with the, you know, getting overlooked, underutilized, and whatnot, just trying to make a name for themselves. And, you know, we just kind of ran a little ruckshot around the ICW. So
now, you did pick up quite a bit of a fan following there. You had the Ramaguchi Revolution, I think they called it, for a while. You're getting quite a bit of the ladies were bringing the posters. You know, they were getting behind you. The guys were getting behind you. You're starting to build up a bit of a crowd there. And after K5, what's the moment you remember most about on your way up in ICW?
Well, so after the K5 saga, I guess, if you will, I actually took a lot of time off of wrestling. At that time, I think it was about like 2011 or like going into 2012, whatnot. I was actually transitioning from, you know, civilian life to entering the military. So I left for the military in 2012, about around April, and you know, I spent a good while, you know, just doing that thing there, and you know, that was really like my main focus at the time. But when I returned, you know, there was a lot of downtime for me, because I joined as a reservist. So when I came back home, it's kind of more of a minimalistic schedule than as opposed to being on an active duty side. So whereas some people would be deployed for like years on end and not really knowing when they're going to leave or whatnot, my situation was more of a, you know, you're recalled back to your, you know, to your home of record, and you basically go to like a reserve center that you just kind of just train at for like, you know, weekend every month or something. So with that, I had more time to come back to wrestling. And so when I did, I'm not sure if ICW was on a hiatus at the time. And then we transitioned into, you know, pro, so that started kicking off around 2013 into 2014. That's where I got my big break. Basically, that was like my year to you know, really just like fire up and get the fans behind me. You know, get a following, and I did everything, you know, possible to make that happen. Man, I was just scratching and clawing, just trying to get that spot, and you know, the powers that be, if you will, you know, they saw something and they gave me a little bone to work with, and I chewed it up.
You know, it's funny, the phrasing you use, the powers that be, that reminds me, you ran with a pack of guys before. You ran with Barrington Hughes and Joey Saint, and you guys were the power for a while. You guys were like a trio going on there.
That's right. Oh, we cannot forget Mr. Bowtie Guy himself, Dapper Dan Ragu.
Dan Ragu, of course.
That rounds out the the round table for us. Yeah, absolutely. I love those guys to death. You know, what else can I say, man? Yeah, so it's the power, and then you get, you know, you add me into the mix, and then we become Team Power Gucci. And pretty much unstoppable.
Absolutely. I mean, you had Barrington Hughes. The guy is massive. He's your muscle. You had Joey Saint, who was, you know, not quite all there. So he was the one who always kept you on your toes, so to speak. And you had you. You're the technician through and through. So it was a great combination. You know, you talk of guys Freebirds and Trios. And New Day and everything. You guys balanced and matched so well.
Absolutely. I definitely.
And like you said,
you
also had Bowtie Dan Ragu. You had him for the brains to try to, you know, manipulate you guys and tell you guys where to go in regards to things and how to get things done. So it was a great combination, all four of you, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, every facet of the power was just intertwined so beautifully. Like, you can't ask for, like, a better set of guys working together. Like, I love those guys to death.
Well, without a doubt, they're all good guys. I've had relations with all of them, business relations with each one of them, and, you know, they're all really, really phenomenal. I mean, Ragu was a great co-host. He co-hosted with me for a long time. He was really good. Joey Saint actually got me veering off to the path with J-Dog. J-Dog got me going on to the radio, and Joey got me going off to do my own thing, and he started off as my co-host first, and then we went over to Ragu. Barrington, you know, he's been on several drives with us, just hung out. He's just a phenomenal human being. He's a big teddy bear is what he is. But the guy is great, you know. All those guys
Absolutely.
Are really good, and you know, all together, you know, it's a laugh a minute with them. So after ICW and everything, and then you did the reserve for a while. Between there and now, what have you been doing? What's been going on?
So let's see. Around 2015, I had finished up working with UnoPro, and then ICW made a resurgence. I worked a few shows with ICW. I actually had a farewell match with BJ Murdoch, which I think you called. I think you called that with Bobby Rogers. If I'm
I
not
did.
Mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that match, and afterwards I was going up to. I had some upcoming deployments that I was going to be taking on, just kind of back to back, kind of rolling into them, and they were kind of extended things where it was like voluntary active duty, so as opposed to what I normally would have done in the reserves, just kind of like just going a weekend every month or whatever. This was like actual like, all right, hey, you're going to go for like a year or 9 months or whatever the case may be. So basically that's
right.
what I was doing in the interim was just taking these deployments and I was, you know, gaining like certifications on the way and just, you know, defending freedom and democracy around the world. And,
thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for the support. That's always appreciated. So I was doing that. I came back, I'm still technically kind of on a mobilization right now, but I'm demobilizing, coming back home for good.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a bit of a return in November last year with Sweetwater Pro.
What happened with that? Right.
Say again.
Nope, no, I was saying right. I remember that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I came back to wrestling in November of 2019. you know, just got in the ring, a little mixed it up with somebody, not too big. But it was a great experience to come back after, it's like 4 years, four and a half, and a warm reception. I was actually pretty surprised. I didn't even know I was gonna get like the reception that I did when I came out. I mean, like there was new faces in the crowd, and then there was the faithful, and just to hear, you know, so much love from everyone in that regard, like people I've never seen, and like, you know, the kids are jumping around crazy, and you know, some going around, you know, shaking hands and stuff, and it's just it was an incredible feeling. And now I can't stop. Now I got to be back for good, you know.
So where are you now? Are you back in South Florida or are you somewhere else?
I'm currently in Norfolk, Virginia. So I'm out processing from the military. So which shouldn't be too long from now. I think by June timeframe I'll be back home in South Florida and looking to resume wrestling in a major manner, you know. Coming back a little bit more.
Now, who do you have your eyes on when you get back into it full time? You put your full effort into it again. What are your goals, and where can we expect to see you?
You know, I'm not 100% with that. I want to like observe all the options first. Because the thing is, like this, you know, with me and on deployment and everything, like staying, you know, in the loop of the wrestling world was pretty difficult. You know, I had a lot of obligations that I needed to like focus on and stuff like that. But coming back now, I can survey, I can get the lay of the land better now and, you know, see where the opportunity is, you know, and you know, who's going to.
So you want to bide your time and pick your shot.
Absolutely, yeah. I just think that's a method that suits me best.
Well, that's a great idea, and it's a very wise way to do things. Kind of sit back, see what's going on, and take your opportunity when you feel it best does the best for you instead of everybody else, what appeals to you the most. So you're trying to get things going back again. You made your comeback in Sweetwater Pro Wrestling, but there's been a bit of a hubbub lately with Sweetwater. What's going on with them now? What's the issue with them?
You know, I mean, it's a little difficult to say. I mean, you know, obviously, yeah. I mean, you've seen it, and some other people have seen it. You know, I had a conversation with George, you know, who runs Sweetwater Pro, and it's, you know, I can't really say it's much of a miscommunication. Well, I mean, it is miscommunication, but it's just. I just think he's a very defensive kind of guy, and I think he's just you know, when you make a situation, even though like you don't want it to happen, but because you think it's gonna happen, you just kind of cause it. You kind of speak it into existence in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like
Sweetwater Pro Wrestling, they've had some phenomenal athletes down there. I've seen some great stars. It's a pretty good promotion, so I see where, you know, the promotion itself is a great place to be. George, yeah, he's a bit touchy, I guess, is the best way to explain it in certain situations. He gets very defensive about things very quickly, so I can understand where something could be miscommunicated, for lack of a better term, or misunderstood. So I can see how that could happen.
Yeah, it really does seem like a textbook case of that. But the issue I had with that, and just so many other things that I've come across in pro wrestling, is that like I've gotten to a point where, you know, if you come incorrect to me, like I'm gonna call you out on your shit, like that's just who I am now. I've spent many years kind of just you know, trying to save face, tuck the tail between the legs, something like that. Like, just, you know, try to let cooler heads prevail, or whatever, you know, whatever little saying you want to put out there. But this is a new time for me, and this is a time where, you know, I'm just gonna let you know how I'm feeling about it, and like, I'm just gonna give it to you straight. And it's, you know, I think everybody should honestly be that way. I mean, you spend so much time like thinking that, you know, that somebody has something over your head, but they really don't. Like,
in a lot of situations like that, it's almost like we give people power that they don't really have, because we, like you said, you're thinking things into existence. The same way with some people, we give them more power than they really do have. I'll be the first one to jump out and say a lot of people have been jumping on my case in the past over certain things I've said and everything, and I was like, I've got no power. You people keep acting like I do for some reason. You're giving me, honestly, a lot more power than I actually have, which I always found interesting. So I can see exactly where you're coming from in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's important for everyone to understand their own power and the, you know, their own worth, and, you know, to not, you know, to not be diminutive to themselves in order to, you know, to appease somebody. Like, you know, if you feel a certain way about something, you say it, and like, you stick up for yourself, because at the end of the day, I mean, especially in the pro wrestling world, like, you know, what does anybody really hold over your head with pro wrestling? I mean, not many people are like getting their bills paid from from the shows that they do. You know,
No.
And with a lot of these independent promotions, like, there are no contracts. There's no LLC. They're not running a business. So they're not your boss, in a sense. And like, in the pro wrestling sense, and then in life, like, they're not your boss, and you shouldn't give people that power, you know, unwillingly.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from on those things, because you never want to sell yourself short in those things. You don't want to step on toes and hurt people's feelings, but you don't want to hold back what you feel is your own truth in those regards also. Well, Vinny, I want to thank you for the time you spent for me, and I want to give you a big, fat apology for having to sit on the phone for so long while we try to get this damn thing figured out. I promise you, the next time we give you a ring and have you on the show, it's going to be a hell of a lot better in many ways. But before we go, I want to get one or two more things from you. Actually, just one more thing from you. What are you expecting? You know, what's all this crazy shit of 2020 is done going on? I mean, with COVID and everything else. I mean, wrestling's on hold for a lot of people out there, and a lot of things are just crazy. I'm blessed to still be working in regards to the job I have. Things seem to be going pretty well for you and everything. Goals are probably a scary thing to talk about right now, because you just never quite know what's going to happen next. But what can we expect from Vinny Ramaguchi going from 2020, maybe into, I mean, we're halfway through the year almost. What's going to happen for Vinny Ramaguchi in 2021? What are we looking for? What should we expect? And what are your goals, man?
Oh, goodness. Well, you made a good point. It is pretty touchy to talk about, you know, goal setting as far as, you know, future plans. And, like, because, I mean, it's so – everything is so kind of just, like, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like, life's crazy. Let's just put that one out there. I do have a goal in mind. I actually have been looking into acquiring my own ring. And I would actually like to get on board with like starting a school, in my area where I'm going to be in Florida. Not that there aren't schools around, but I just an extra channel for people to travel through and you know, get proper training and stuff like that. And actually the main premise behind it actually was I wanted a place for people to train within a free range kind of atmosphere where, I mean, obviously, you know, if you have new students, they're going to go through a training regimen and stuff like that. But we got guys that have been in the business for years, and, you know, I mean, I can't really speak for every school, but I've seen some schools where it's a very like, okay, we know you've been wrestling for, you know, X amount of years, or whatnot, but we're still going to, you know, run you through like headlock takeover drills, like the whole day, the whole week or whatever. My concept behind the school that I want to open is that, you know, with people who already have that training experience that want to perfect their craft in more advanced techniques and stuff like that, you know, things that you don't normally get to, you don't get to execute in a normal school, like training environment. I want to provide that for people.
So like different levels of experience, different classes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like there's a lot of things that, you know, that need, you know, you always need to practice everything that you do. But, I just want to open that field for people to do everything that they want to get sharpened on, like, you know, like aerial moves and stuff like that. You know, like, you don't normally get to practice those things, I would say. But that's the main premise behind that. So it's definitely, you know, a project in development. But once things start moving along, I'll definitely have more information on that.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. South Florida, if that's where you're going to be, man, it's busy down there. I got to warn you, there's a lot of schools. You got Gangrels, you got CCW, Main Event Training Center. You have FEW. You got a couple of good schools down there with some really amazing guys. So if that's where you're going to be, best of luck to you. I like the idea, though. I like the idea that you're going to try to keep it open for all different kinds. And it's not so much associated with the promotion, because all those schools have their own promotion thing going on, too, which is a lot of what the schools are about. It sounds like you're trying to just be a training center for people. Instead of being a feeding system for a promotion, you honestly just want to be another option for guys out there to practice and train.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely what I'm looking at.
All right, great. Well, Vinny, thanks for the help. I really do appreciate it. We got 90 seconds to wrap it up here. I can't wait to talk to you again under better circumstances. It's good to hear you. Nice to hear somebody from the old South Florida area again. I'm looking forward to conversing with you more. Looking forward to seeing more about your future plans in that school and the ring and everything else you have going on there. So I want to say thanks to everybody out there who bared with us for the first 20 minutes also. My apologies to you guys out there listening, if you still are, because I know it wasn't easy going through all of it. But my thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening to South Florida, listening to Slam Radio South Florida Edition, because there is going to be a South Carolina edition coming up here. I got some things in the works up here, and we'll see what happens, but it should be interesting. Thanks to everybody, and I appreciate it, and y'all have a good night.
Well, that's about all the time we have.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
Thanks for coming to the show.
All right, show's over, folks.
We're done. Finito. See the door, use it.
Okay, that's enough. Let's everyone go home now.
Goodbye, everyone.